I wanted just to say 10 minutes, hold me to that, 10 minutes of reflections, largely inspired by a book I read some time ago called My Bright Abyss, which is a book by a poet called Christian Wiman. Why on earth I am reading a book near poetry defeats me, but if you know what I think about it, well, I mean, I just don't get it. I write it, but I don't get it. But this book in particular really spoke to me, particularly about the themes of truth and certainty, the whole theme that we've been grappling with today. And those two words are things that, you know, I grew up with a particular understanding of truth, that it exists, that there is such a thing as absolute truth, and that we can reach it, we can see it. And we heard the word certainty, to be certain of your faith. And sometimes you heard the words interchangeably, but I guess in terms of how I see them, they're not the same. They're quite different. I know we've had a lot of definitions, but two working definitions that I'm using just for the sake of this morning's talk is truth. I'm thinking in terms of an explanation for why or how things are the way they are. So if that's what truth is, then in my world, my particular framework, then certainty is a measure of how confident we are that that truth is true. I mean, anyone can say a truth. This is how things are. You know, where the whole of the world is sitting on the back of a turtle. And if you've read Terry Pratchett books, you'll know that that's a very vibrant myth. But how confident are you that truth is true? And who's to say that truth? What gives them the right to say that? So both concepts are actually problematic. Who is to say what the truth is? Who is the arbiter to put out the theory, this is the way things are? And supposing someone has said this is the way things are, what criteria do you use to determine whether it's a load of crap or not? So in the scientific world, which is where I spend a lot of my time, people have thought a lot about this, and the results of their work in terms of how they think about truth and certainty, we have all benefited from, whether we agree with them or not. The chairs that we sit on, the lights that we consume, all have been influenced and are made available because of how people approach truth in the scientific framework. So we have these things called facts, little discrete observations, repeatable discrete observations of bits of reality measured in a standard, regular way. And everybody says, yep, I've measured that thing and I get the same answer. So we call those facts. So then someone comes along and says, well, there's a whole bunch of facts here. Why do they behave the way that they do? Why does fire exist? So you've got a whole bunch of facts about fire, but why? So someone proposes a theory, a hypothesis. So they propose that truth. That doesn't make it true. Just because someone says fire happens when God lights up a spark in your life doesn't make it true. So we're not certain. How do we become certain? Well, we throw more and more facts at it. We try and break that hypothesis. We try and find one fact that completely wipes that theory out. And if we can't do that, after a while, we become more and more certain, and we hold that theory to be true. Now, we're not saying it is true. We're just saying we hold it as true. It is the best way of living life to accept that that fact is true, and it's true truth. It's true for everybody. Until such time as you get another fact, and that fact contradicts that theory. And then you say, well, I really love that theory. I wrote lots of publications. I got, I got my impact factor and my reputation. But I have to let go of that theory because I now have new facts that make me rethink that theory. So the important thing to think of, to realise here is the order in which thing happens. Someone proposes a truth. You test that truth, and then your certainty arises when there are no more facts that you can find that disprove or really challenge that. So we're certain. And that's why you can be confident. You don't have to go back and revisit the truth about polymer plastics. You can accept as taken that if you do this, things will behave in a certain way because whatever it is. Okay, that's how things work in the science world. So we speak a lot about truth within our spiritual environment. That's not how things work within the spiritual environment. For most religions, the information sources that we use, the facts such as they are, they're ancient. They're culturally bound. And so that the facts that we use, that we pull together to make our theories, are often disputable. And it's inevitable that there'll be some kind of a subjective interpretation of what the facts are, much less what the truth is. Then to confound things, some of those truths that we might come up with are delicious. We love them because they make our lives better. We become emotionally invested in those truths because they talk about things that we desperately need and want, like love, security, justice. And therein lies the problem. What happens when you get a new fact that's problematic? How comfortable are we to let go of those truths that provide a whole bunch of things that are really important to us? In fact, what happens in Christendom or in any religious framework is that we tend to ignore or dismiss facts that don't fit our worldview because they challenge and call into question the very things that we consume as part of our survival strategy. So being certain is actually problematic, which is a shame because as a human being, I need certainty. I can't survive without certainty. In fact, we need it so much that we have developed really good ways of manufacturing certainty. We tell ourselves things are true and we are confident that they're true because somebody important says so. We adopt a language of certainty. Look how many 7-Eleven songs put words into God's mouth. Does anyone know what a 7-Eleven song is? It's a song with seven words repeated 11 times. Bought in a supermarket. You might think of a particular manufacturer on top of a hill. I'm just saying, I'm not wanting to be disrespectful. But think of how many of those songs describe in intimate, accurate detail what God is saying, as if we knew exactly what God thought about everything. The problem with that approach is that by creating certainty that precedes the truth, you actually result in an uncritiqued truth that can become self-validating. So, for example, suppose my pastor says, God wants us to be rich and happy. I trust her. And I'm comforted by that. So it must be true. God really does want us to be rich and happy. That's not real truth. That's certainty manufacturing an environment where we accept this truth because it gives us things we need. So don't take me wrong. I'm not by any means saying there aren't defensible truths or reliable truths, but I'm just saying that by the nature of the facts that we use to pull those theories and truths together, it means that uncertainty is an inherent fundamental part of our belief system. That's all I'm saying. So everybody can keep doing theology and all the things that we do. I'm not calling any of that into question. I'm just saying uncertainty is the core of how we approach our truths. And in fact, Christian Wiman says, to say that one must live in uncertainty doesn't even begin to get at the tenuous, precarious nature of faith. The minute you speak with certitude about God, he is gone. So there's this tension between the truth, the true truth, and wanting a particular version of the truth that provides something important for our well-being. We need to acknowledge that. How do we live with that? Well, there are three things that I suggest. Firstly, if the truths that we hold, the theologies, whatever you want to call them, if they make no difference to how we live, then they're an interesting, pointless ornament to our lives. We should just go out and have a good time. So that's one thing. Second thing is that just because it's hard or uncertain doesn't mean we shouldn't strive for the truth. We need the truth so that we can live better lives. And sometimes we just know the truth because our hearts tell us that it's the truth. And the third thing that I'd say to that is we must also walk lightly with the truth, knowing that we could be wrong. And that's so much easier said than done. How do we, on the one hand, have this gentle approach to the truth that acknowledges our human limitations, whilst not becoming intellectual and spiritual wimps doing injustice to our ancient texts? Wyman gives us a clue. We do not need definite beliefs because their objects are necessarily true. We need them because they enable us to stand on steady spots from which the truth may be glimpsed. Definite beliefs are what make the radical mystery, those moments when we suddenly know there is a God about whom we know absolutely nothing, accessible to us and to our ordinary, unmysterious lives. It's a bit shocking, that. He's saying that it almost doesn't matter whether our beliefs are true. That's shocking for me. Because those beliefs can provide a launching point for glimpsing the truth. So we should walk lightly with dogma, but expect to find the truth if we look hard enough. So I'll skip the next bit because I did want to stick to 10 minutes. I find it both truthful and very annoying that often we have no choice but to submit to the one-dimensional language that we have in religion. We're trying to explain the ineffable, and we only have the symbols and the language that we've been brought up to work with. That's how it is. So in conclusion, Wyman uses a phrase called living as if. In my case, the best explanation I have for the world that I see is that it's an event of divine creation. I've read a lot. I've read Richard Dawkins and all those guys, and even so, I still see a divine creation as the best explanation for what I see. I need a safe place to explore that. I need some kind of structure, some kind of language to talk about it, and I need some fellow travellers. And inherent in that is uncertainty. I could be wrong. You could all be wrong. The way that I deal with that is to live as if. As if the facts of Jesus and the resurrection are true. I'll do that fervently. I choose to hold to a good, just, and loving God until I get more facts that say otherwise. So I'll try to leave room for new facts, for doubt, for uncertainty. That's part of my journey. It makes it easier to change my mind. And importantly, by allowing room for uncertainty, it leaves room for other people and other ideas who may also be travelling as if. Thank you.